I would like to say welcome to everyone on this Sabbath day. We are in the Georgia area today. I'd like to say welcome to some visitors here today also. Brethren, in the last sermon, we looked at God, who is a creating God. And we talked about eternity briefly in that sermon. And when we look through the Hubble telescope that man has developed, that man has invented, and when we see the probes that man has sent into deep space, into outer space, we can see some of the magnificence of our God and what he has created. And we can see the billions of stars that inhabit that space. But we can only see through these physical eyes, the eyes of man at this time. And by just looking at this creation that God has created through these physical eyes of man, we can begin to understand the capacity of the human mind and how limited that mind can be. These physical minds cannot comprehend just this creation alone that God has created in outer space. And it staggers our mind when we focus on just that creation alone. Mankind has had great advancement in science and technology. And with that technology, he can see through that limited telescope, even though it is so powerful, it is still limited. And we can see through those probes, though, that man has sent into space. And we cannot see beyond what is limited to man, even with all this technology. But man can now see deep into space, into what we call the universe. And when we just think of just a light year alone, our minds cannot comprehend such a thing as a light year. We know that the human mind is limited to the physical. And it's only when God calls and grants someone the ability to understand past the physical, it is only then that one can begin to understand God's plan. God says in this book, his Bible, that he is Alpha and Omega, that he is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And we cannot comprehend just that one statement in God's book, but we know it's there. And when we talk about eternity, it is beyond our ability to comprehend and understand. We just cannot comprehend such a thing with this mind. We know as the Church of God that there is spirit, and there are spirit beings that God has created. And we understand that man without God and God's spirit, that we cannot understand what God is creating and what he has already created. Be turning to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, and we'll look at verse 15. Most of us have seen the movies about man traveling through space. And I think most of us are at the age that we can remember some of the Star Trek movies that were made. And it was movies made about traveling through space, through the universe, that we can see through this Hubble telescope. And through the technology that man has developed, that man has created, those movies simulated man traveling through space to different worlds. And it's amazing what they have done with that technology to look so real. Man is limited at this time to physical laws that God has put in place, that God created. But man, through his mind and what he has developed through his technology, can see things that are beyond his reach. He can see through this telescope things that God has created, but they are out of reach of mankind at this time. But man can see it. And man is always striving to go to such places as the other planets, such as Mars. and he can only dream of traveling through that space. Man has constantly been trying to travel to things out of his reach. And when we talk about light years, there's no such thing a man could do because of his lifespan, because of what God has allotted to man, 70. We know that eternity is beyond our ability to see and understand at this time. God says in his book that he dwells in, that he lives in, and that he exists in eternity. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Let's see what God had recorded in his book. For thus says the high and lofty one, let's notice, who inhabits eternity. There's no way that we can comprehend such a statement. One who inhabits eternity. And sometimes we just read through these verses and we don't focus on what is being said and the magnitude of what it is, because this is beyond our comprehension. But God says this is where he dwells, and he inhabits eternity. And he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So, brethren, we can see we cannot grasp such a thing as eternity. We cannot grasp a being that has always existed. And it is only when God begins to call and put his spirit into one's mind that one can begin in a limited way to understand God's plan. In the last sermon, we looked at what God is creating, and we will continue to do so today. So this will be your title today, A Creating God, Part 2. When God talks about eternity, things that we cannot fully comprehend, then we have to choose whether to believe what God has written in this book, his Bible. We choose. And when we look into this universe that God says that he created, we can see the stars, we can see the planets that he has created. So God gives us a glimpse of his creation on a physical plane through these physical eyes. But we cannot fully comprehend just this physical creation, much less the spiritual creation that God has created and is creating. We will take a look today at what God has created in the spirit realm. And it does help those at the end of an age that have seen such movies about space and traveling through the stars and beyond. Things such as those Star Trek movies and many more that were about space that man has produced through technology. Let's go to John 1 in verse 1. And this is where God tells us of a beginning. John 1 in verse 1. We know what we have just read in God's book, that God inhabits eternity. And this is not easy for the human mind to grasp, eternity. Someone who has eternally existed. But God talks about a beginning in John 1 in verse 1. God says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. So notice the last part. The Word was God. And in 2005 at the Feast of Tabernacles, God began to have his church, the Church of God, PKG, understand more about the great God of this universe and his Son, Jesus Christ. God gave us understanding, more understanding about himself at that Feast of Tabernacles. God began to explain to this church who he was and who his Son was. And that separated us from the rest of the scattered church at that time. And it drew a line in the sand, so to speak, as I've said before. But much understanding was given to a remnant church at that time. And this verse began to reveal so much about God and what he was revealing to this remnant church. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. And the glory was of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When it says that the Word was with God, it's not saying that the Word was Jesus Christ. In verse 1, when it says the Word was with God, the word with in Greek does not mean alongside or together with. Better said, the Word was unto God, not with God. So better said, it's talking about God's Word. John 1 in verse 1 is just saying the Word was unto God and unto no other. It was God's Word. And this is not talking about Jesus Christ being with God. If we remember what Isaiah said, Isaiah 45 in verse 5, if you want to turn over there quickly, we'll take a look and refresh our minds. Isaiah 45 in verse 5. God tells us in his book about a beginning in the book of John. And we know that what God has told us about his existence. We know about our God, who is the one who has eternally existed. And because of what God has revealed to his remnant church, we understand more about our God. And we read this in the last sermon. But God tells us through his book that he is the only one that existed in the beginning. Isaiah 45 and verse 5, God told us, I am the Lord Yahweh, and there is none else. No one else, better said. There is no God, Elohim, besides me. I girded you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord Yahweh, and there is none else. No one else, better say it. The Lord God, Yahweh, Elohim, tells us he is the creator of all things, and that there was no one else that helped him in his creation. For thus says the Lord Yahweh, who created the heavens. So notice what's being said. Who created the heavens? God, Elohim himself, who formed the earth and made it. He has established it, and he did not create it in vain, but he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord Yahweh, and there is none else. So we can see what God tells us and what he had written in his book, that from the beginning, it was the one that we know as the eternal God, the self-existing one that revealed himself as the Word. And we just read about this in the book of John. And since 2005, God's church has been given much understanding about our God and who he is. And it is only God's true church, the Church of God, PKG, that this understanding is given. Let's go to Proverbs 8. Proverbs chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 1. And we'll see what God had recorded and how he had it written. Proverbs 8 and verse 1. God gives us a glimpse through the Proverbs that explains more about our God. The Proverbs talk about wisdom, which is another way that God uses to reveal his Word. In Proverbs 8 and verse 1, it says, Doesn't wisdom cry out? And understanding put forth her words, better said. The New King James says, boys. But it says, put forth her words and understanding. And it's talking about the beginning of what is understood as wisdom. And it says, she stands at the top of the hills along the way in the places of the paths. So we can see that this is talking about the road of life. That's what it's saying, and that's what it's talking about. And she cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. And it says, I call out to you, to all of you, in my word, better said, is to all of mankind. Oh, you simple-minded, understand wisdom. And you foolish, be of an understanding mind, better said. Verse 6. These verses reveal much about the great God. And it says, listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips comes forth right things. So it's talking about words, words from our God. For my mouth speaks. Notice how it's being said. For my mouth speaks truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And let's notice, all the words of my mouth are righteousness, and there is nothing devious or perverse, nothing distorted in them. They are all plain to him. You'll see what's being said, who has understanding, and right to them who find knowledge. So it's to those, brethren, it's to those that God has worked with and gave his spirit to. And that's why it's plain to you and me. And that's why these words come alive. And it's why we understand these words. And we gather knowledge out of what God reveals to you and me. And God says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. So God is telling us that we are to understand that knowledge is more valuable than anything we could have upon the face of this earth, knowledge of him. And God says in verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to her. I, wisdom, dwell with good judgment, and know where to find knowledge and discernment. And let's see what's being said. The fear of the eternal is to hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption, and all that is perverse. Counsel is mine. So what this is saying is it comes from God. And sound wisdom. Talking about sound mindedness. I have understanding. I have strength. So God is telling you and me that he has understanding to give about a way of life. And he's telling us more about himself through his word. And God is revealing more about himself and the importance of wisdom and where its true source is. And that it is from the great God of this universe. Verse 22. The eternal possessed me, wisdom, talking about wisdom, in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. So this shows us that this was before he began creating. Verse 23. I was set up, better said, established from everlasting, from the beginning, before the earth ever was. God is telling you and me a lot about himself and about what took place down through time. And now we can begin to see that he was a creating God. Verse 24. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth, while as yet he, the eternal, had not made the earth. nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, our wisdom was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea its decree that the water should not pass its commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. The ways of God, as we can see, are the ways of true wisdom that produces the way of peace, the correct way to live. Verse 31. And how happy our wisdom was with the world God created. So we can see this was the beginning. It was before the creation of the world. And I rejoiced in the human family. Now therefore listen to me, you children. Blessed are they who keep my ways. Verse 33. God is telling us, hear instruction and be wise and don't refuse it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me, finds life. So we can see what it's talking about and who is doing the talking. The life that God is offering to you and me, is what he's offering to live for an eternity. And we shall obtain favor of the eternal if we do these things. But he who sins against me wrongs his own life. And all they who hate me love death. Yahweh Elohim existed from the beginning. And then he began to create. And we can see he became a creating God. Be turning to Colossians 1 and we will start in verse 12. Colossians 1 and verse 12. And in the last sermon, the creating God, we saw what God created and some of how he was creating his family. And there is an order to what God is creating. And there is a purpose to what God is creating. In Colossians 1 and verse 12, God says in his book, giving thanks unto the Father, who has enabled us, better said, made it possible for us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Better said, moving us from darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by or through him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by, for, and through him, and for him. So God is creating his family, and he is a creating God. And he tells us about how he would bring it into existence through his Son. And it's all about God's family, about bringing it into existence. And when it says visible and invisible, things that can be seen and things that cannot be seen, have been created for a purpose. And it will all be accomplished through Jesus Christ, the one who became the first fruit, the first to enter the God family. And we understand that God created spirit beings and that God created a place for them to exist. And we understand that they are beings that are composed of spirit. And we understand that there are things that God created in the place that these beings exist that is made out of spirit. God has given His church so much understanding of what He has created, both in the spirit and in the physical. Let's go to Revelation 15. Revelation 15. God created things that we cannot comprehend with this physical mind. But God does give you and me a glimpse through His book. Things He had written about what He has created. And in Revelation 15 and verse 2, let's look at what God had recorded. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now, when we just read through this, the only way that we can comprehend anything about this sea of glass, which we will see more about a little later, but just using this one scripture, the only way that we can comprehend any of this through this mind that we have, that God has spirit dwelling in our mind, is to believe what God had recorded in His book. We can choose to believe or not believe. But to believe that there is a spirit world that He has created, and that He has created a place for them to exist. God had it written in His book through John. And this is the way that John explained it. And this is the way that God had it recorded to you and me. We know what a piece of glass is. And we know how a piece of glass looks. So we get a glimpse of what John is saying in God's book. So we have a glimpse of what the sea of glass looks like in our minds. Most of us have seen people that work with glass. We've seen the glass blowers and how they mix different colors in with that glass. And they can make beautiful fixtures out of that glass. Some are very talented with that glass, the glass blowing. And we actually have some of these in our home, and I'm sure most of you do. And they can make a very beautiful creation out of that glass. And we can see that just on a physical plane, what man can do with that glass and how beautiful he can make it look. And man has learned how to intermingle different colors throughout that glass to make that creation. So we can have just a little bit of understanding about this spiritual creation that we're reading about. We can also understand about Jesus Christ and that He is now at the right hand of God in a spiritual body. The one who died, who is now resurrected and seated at the right hand of God, if we can picture this in our mind. That's where He's at. And He was the first to enter Elohim. And now He has a spiritual body. We understand that Jesus Christ is waiting for His return to this earth to set up the kingdom of God upon this earth and to have others inherit their spiritual bodies, the 144,000. So God gives us a glimpse through His book about some things that have already been created for a purpose. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5. We know that God created angels And we know that they are spirit, composed of spirit. And let's notice what God had recorded. Hebrews 1 and verse 5. For unto which of the angels did he say at any time, you are my son? This day have I begotten you. So it's a question that is being asked. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Again, it's another question. When he brought in the first begotten into the world, he said, let's notice what is being said. Let all the angels of God worship him. Brethren, when God let Lucifer know what his plan was for man, it really infuriated, it made him mad, in other words. And here we see God saying what the angels were to do. And we know that Satan tried to kill Jesus Christ. And he did not like what God was creating. And of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. So here we can see that angels were made by God out of spirit. In verse 13, and we know that this further infuriated Satan. But to which of the angels did he say at any time, sit on my right hand, until I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? Talking about angels. Sent forth to minister. Better said, to them who will be heirs of salvation. So we can see that angels are composed of spirit. And God has revealed to you and me that he did not create, that he did create spirit. And he did create a place for them to exist in. God gives us a further glimpse of his spirit creation. And it was given to John to write down in God's book. Let's turn to Revelation 4. Revelation 4. And we'll start in verse 1. And we will read through this complete chapter so that we can get a little better understanding. Revelation 4 and verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. And immediately I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne set in heaven. And the heading in my Bible says the throne room of heaven. So that's the context. And John says he was in the spirit immediately. And behold, a throne set in heaven. And one sat upon the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. And around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Verse 6. Before the throne, a sea of glass. Just like we read about earlier, brother. A sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne, four living beings, better said. The New King James says creatures. Full of eyes in front and in front and back. The first living being like a lion. The second living being like a calf. The third being had a face like a man. And the fourth being, living being, was like a flying eagle. The four living beings, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits upon the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. And let's notice what's being said. For you created all things. God the Father created all things. And it is recorded here in the book of Revelation by John. And let's notice the rest of what he said. And by your will they exist and were created. So there's a lot said in these verses. And we can see a glimpse of what was shown to John. Things that God had already created. We can see what John is describing about what God has created. And there is no way for us to fully comprehend this. But with God's Spirit, we should be able to grasp some of what is being said. And we should be able to grasp such things as that sea of glass because of what you can relate to. Glass and its properties and how glass looks. Especially with the colors mixed in and how beautiful just that one creation is alone. So John is describing what he saw, which is because he related it back to precious jewels. And we know that they are always beautiful. So what John saw was very beautiful. And we can only imagine what God showed John. We can only imagine the beauty that was there and what God had already created. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. We can kind of relate some of the spiritual creations that God lets us see in his book to the physical things that the physical mind can comprehend. Even though it's like looking through a dark glass, we can comprehend on a limited basis. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at different times and in many various ways spoke in time past unto the fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom Christ, also he, God, made the worlds as part of that master design for the eventual creation of his family. Who Christ, being the brightness of his, God's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So we can see here that all things are upheld and sustained by the power of God, just like we've read in other scriptures. And when he, Christ, had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of high, being made, and the Greek says, to come into being, better said, so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And we'll reread this other part again. For unto which of the angels did he say at any time, You are my son, this day have I begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brought in the first begotten into the world, he said, Let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he said, Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. We know These are composed of spirit. And they have spirit life given by God. And we understand that they were created as free moral agents. And we understand, we've come to understand that even their life is sustained by God. And we saw what was revealed through John, that these angelic beings that are in a spirit realm, some were created differently, as we saw. John described some as having wings and eyes and different kinds of faces. And it's a most unique and beautiful creation that John was allowed to see. God reveals further in this book that there were three angelic beings created with great power in that angelic realm. And these are mentioned by name in the scriptures. Gabriel and Michael are the two that remained faithful to God. We know about the one that rebelled against God when he heard about God's plan to create man. And as a free moral agent, he was free to choose a different way than what God said, and a different way that God had showed him to live. We know that his name was Lucifer in the beginning. But after he rebelled, his name became Satan and the devil. Gabriel is known as the messenger of God. And he is the one that God sent to Daniel. And after many years later, Gabriel is the one that was sent to Zacharias about a son, talking about John the Baptist. And we know that 6 months later, Gabriel was sent to Mary to tell her that she would be the mother of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We call these archangels. And Michael is the archangel. And he is the one who is talked about in God's book, who is a great warrior. And he is the one who stands up and fights for the ones that God calls and the ones that God is working with to become his family, Elohim. We know that there are many angelic beings that were created. And in the last sermon, we looked at a rebellion that had taken place and how all physical life on this earth had been destroyed by this being that had become Satan. And we know that a third of the angels he had brought along with him. And they rebelled with Satan and caused much destruction, as we saw in that sermon. And the earth remained this way till we read about it in the book of Genesis, when God refashioned the earth, when God cleaned up the atmosphere. And all the debris that was there, God cleaned it up so that light could once again be shown upon the face of the earth. And we read about the 7-day week and about how man was put upon this earth. And we read about the creation of man on the 6th day. And we could see that God was a creating God. And we know that Satan hated that plan. And he has worked from the day that God revealed his plan to create man. And he has worked ever since to destroy God's plan and God's purpose down through time. Yet in the midst of all this, God has used all this rebellion. And he's used it for a purpose for mankind, for you and me. And it's because of all that Satan has done that he has contributed to God creating Elohim. We came to understand that the existence of such evil, such an evil one, was necessary for the creation of the family of God. So Satan has actually aided in the development of our character, those that will become Elohim. That which Satan has so hated, he has helped, actually, and is still helping to build the family of God that God is creating. Let's go to the book of Job, and let's look at an attack that took place that God allowed. And we'll also see the end results of that attack. You know, brethren, sometimes we cry in our own bowl of soup, so to speak. Woe is me. But when we read through what we're about to read through, our trials are light in comparison to what God let Satan do to Job. And we'll read through some of this even though we know the story. Job chapter 1 and verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. Now when it says blameless and upright, it's talking about the way that Job did his physical sacrifices, and he was very diligent in those things, the way that he worshiped God. So we can see a man that was striving to obey the laws of God on a physical plane. Verse 2. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. And his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. So we can say that Job was a very wealthy man, and the wealthiest man in all the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them. Let's notice who was doing all of this. Job would send and sanctify them. So let's notice what's taking place. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. So we can see something that Job was doing, if we can just read a little bit into what Job is doing for his children. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, and we know that this is talking about spirit beings, the angelic beings, better said. And they came to present themselves before the Eternal, and Satan also came among them. So God allowed Satan to come along too. And you can notice that his name is used as Satan here, not Lucifer. So we can see the time frame after he rebelled. And the Eternal said to Satan, from where do you come? The question that was asked. Where are you coming from? And Satan answered the Eternal and said, from going to and fro upon the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. And the Eternal said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Eternal and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch forth your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Eternal said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Eternal. And now there was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. when the Sabians raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet still speaking, another one came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven. He's talking about lightning. And burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. So we can see Satan attacking Job. And we will go through this story even though we know it. And we will dwell on the parts that we need to hear. In verse 20. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Eternal gave, and the Eternal has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Eternal. So we can see Job's response. And we know the rest of how Job was attacked by Satan. So let's fast forward to where God was questioning Job after all that Job had been attacked with by Satan. Chapter 38 and verse 1. Then the Eternal answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, let's notice the question that is being asked. And how God framed this question. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? So let's notice what's being said. Let's take notice of that. In verse 3, God said, gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of you, and you will answer me. This would strike fear into any one of us if God told you and me these things. And we can only imagine the fear that we would have. Verse 4, let's notice what's being asked. You know the human mind has the capacity to go beyond the skull that it is encased in. And as I've said before, this human mind can swell so fast that this room could not even contain it. It could swell so big, and it can do it very fast. But God has a pen that he can come along with, and he can deflate this human mind. And I'm sure it's the kind of the way that Job felt when God was asking him these questions that we will go through. And we'll notice how and what God is questioning Job about. And I can only imagine the fear that this would cause someone to have. Verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? That's the question that God is asking Job. Tell me if you have understanding. So, this is a scary question to be asked right from the beginning. So God is kind of letting Job know. Verse 5. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I, let's notice, When I, let's notice what is being said. When I, God. God is a creating God, as we know. And he said that he made the clouds, and he made its garment. And he made the thick darkness, its swaddling band. And he fixed his limit for it. God said he did it. And he set bars and doors for that. And when I said, when God said, this far you may come, but no further. And here your proud ways must stop. In other words, they would come no further. Verse 12. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? So notice the type of questions. Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. So Job is being questioned about his knowledge. Where is the way to the dwelling of light and darkness? Where is its place? That you may take it to its territory. That you may know the paths to its home. Do you know it because you were born then? Or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow? Or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way is light diffused? Or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water? Or a path for the thunderbolt, to cause it to rain on a land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man. Verse 33. Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Verse 36. An important question was asked. Who has put wisdom in the mind? Just notice what's being said. Who has given understanding to the heart? You can read the rest of these attacks on your own, but we know the story and what took place. These questions that were asked of Job, we could ask these questions of ourselves. Because sometimes we think we can take it on our own to understand they matter. And just as God is letting Job know that he has very little understanding of it all. And without God granting him what he did know, he would have no understanding at all when it's all said and done. So these are good questions that we need to ask ourselves. Where were we before God called us? Where was your mind? What was it focused upon? Do you have the answers to these questions that were asked? How would you answer these questions to the great God of this universe? Let's drop down to Job 40 and let's look at verse 1. Job 40 and verse 1. Moreover, the Eternal answered Job and said, let's notice the question. Shall he that contends with the Almighty instruct him? So we see the question. He that reproves God, let him answer. Then Job answered the Eternal and said, let's notice Job's reply. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. And that's what we should do too, brother, when we contend against the great God of this universe, when we think we have knowledge. Job said, once have I spoken, but I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further. Verse 6. So Job understood there was nothing else he could say, and he would proceed no further. Then answered the Eternal to Job out of the whirlwind and said, let's notice, gird up your loins like a man. I will demand of you and declare unto you, will you thou disannul my judgment? Now Job had had a lot, as we read, taken away from him. He had lost his whole family. Satan had been able to really do a number on Job. So let's notice the questions that God is asking Job, because Job went through a lot upon this earth. So when you think you have a problem, just go back and read Job's. But God said, will you also disannul my judgment? It's the question that he was asking Job. And will you condemn me that you may be righteous? So we can see the question that was asked. So how will you answer that question? Verse 9. Have you an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like him? Can you deck yourself with majesty and excellency and array yourself with glory and beauty? Cast abroad the rage of your wrath and behold everyone that is proud and abase him. Can you look on everyone that is proud and bring him low and tread down the wicked in their place? Can you hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret? Verse 14. Then I will also confess unto you that your own right hand can save you. And down in chapter 42 and verse 1. Chapter 42 and verse 1. Job answered Eternal and said, let's notice Job's answer. And I hope you know the answers too. I know that you can do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from you. Who is he? Let's notice the question again that was asked in the beginning. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? So it's the question that God asked Job in the beginning. Therefore I have uttered, let's notice, I have uttered and I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech you and I will speak. I will demand of you and declare you unto me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. Let's notice. But now my eyes see you. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And because of what God had allowed Satan to do, all that Job had went through, all the horror, all the loss of his family, in the end, it really benefited Job after it was all said and done. So this has to really infuriate Satan. Job came to see a lot about himself that God allowed him to see now about himself, and allowed Job to see a lot about his God. Job said, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye sees you. Job said, therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job said, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. When we look around at what God has created, what he lets us to understand, when we just look through that Hubble telescope and we look at what is written in God's book about the spirit realm, about what has been created, the awesomeness of what we understand, brethren, you have been so blessed. We understand that God is creating his family and Satan is still being used. At this time, the further along God's plan. And that really has to upset him. because he is being used to create Elohim. Let's back up in Job to chapter 28. Go to Job chapter 28 and verse 12. And let's look at what was written. But where shall wisdom be found? The question that is asked. Job 28 and verse 12. And where is the place of understanding? Man knows not the price thereof. Neither is it found in the land of the living. Brethren, I hope you understand what you have been offered. The understanding that you have been given by the great God of this universe. You have been given so much at the end of an age. And here's the question that is asked. Where will wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? We know the answers to these questions. So how blessed are you? Verse 14. The depth said, it's not in me. And the sea said, it's not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold. Neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral, pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. It is indescribable for what it is worth, brother. What you have in your possession, it is indescribable. Verse 19. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it. Neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then comes wisdom? The question that is being asked. And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understands the way thereof, and he knows the place thereof. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds. And he weighs the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yes, and searched it out. And in verse 28, and unto man he said. Let's notice who it's to, brother. Unto man. He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. That's what it is to you and me, brother. We know that God is wisdom. God says the fear of the eternal is wisdom for you and me. And to depart from evil is understanding. And that's our understanding. Not to take part with the evils of this world. To obey the great God of this universe and his laws. And to depart from these laws is evil. To depart from the understanding that God grants to you and me, that would be evil. And we know God has had a purpose from the beginning. And we know that David wanted to build a house for God. We know that Solomon built a temple David had desired to build. But God finally revealed a building that he planned before he built or created anything. Let's go to Isaiah 66 in verse 1. Isaiah 66 in verse 1. This was revealed through Isaiah. God had it written a long time ago. Isaiah 66 in verse 1. Thus says the Eternal, Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all these things exist, says the Eternal. Our God is a creating God. And He is creating a place where He can inhabit, where He can dwell. God said He made all these other things. But He also says something else in the rest of this scripture. He says the rest of the scripture. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. That's what Job came to understand. And if God asked you and me these questions, we would tremble. I can state that you would tremble if you had to answer these questions, that Job had to answer. And we take it so lightly sometimes, brother, in our calling. God had Isaiah write in his book and asked a question through Isaiah. And he was talking about man's ability to build anything that God could dwell in. But you and I know that it's God's plan to build himself a temple to dwell in. And this plan was put in place before he ever created anything. God gives us a glimpse concerning his plan at the end of this verse that we just read. God can only work with those that he can work with those that have a right spirit toward him, their creator, and that have a humble spirit. Job came to understand that he knew nothing in comparison to the great God of this universe. And to raise one's thinking above God, could you imagine someone doing such a thing? Can you imagine someone that would do that, brother? Raise their own thinking above God? It happens. We've seen it happen. But God's desire to have a place to dwell in, and we know that the temple begins with the church of God. That's his desire. And that's where it begins. And God has given you and me so much understanding about the creation of his family. And it is through the church of God that you receive this understanding. And it's through Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. Let's turn over there quickly. We know to become part of God's church that we have to be baptized. And we have to have hands laid upon us by a minister of God's church and receive God's Spirit. And then we become impregnated with the life of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul talks about being begotten by this Holy Spirit and becoming part of the church of God. And he wrote in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God? And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit," that's what it's talking about, "dwells in you." And let's notice, "If any man defile the temple of God, him God will destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." And can you imagine anyone that would raise their thinking above the great God of this universe and his Son? Again, he says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own? Brethren, you are God. You belong to God." 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. It's just over a little bit. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. Paul said, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God is saying, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. After we are begotten of the Holy Spirit of God, after baptism, we've become part of the Church of God. And it is the Church of God, PKG, brother. God dwells in us through the power of His Holy Spirit. And He does so as He is a creating God. And He is creating a new mind in those that has His Spirit. And He's creating that mind so that we can think differently. So that we can begin to understand and to comprehend the plan of our God. And we change our way of thinking once we have this Spirit, this Holy Spirit. And a growth begins to take place. And it's like Mr. Armstrong used to explain so wonderfully. When he used the example of the gettle, about the human birth when a woman becomes pregnant. And that is when we are to grow, as an embryo grows in the womb, in the church as the mother. And Paul speaks of this change in the mind that takes place. And it says in Romans 12, and I'll just read this. Paul says, you can stay in 2 Corinthians. Do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's in Romans 12 and verse 2, if you want to note it. So we are to change, and we are to grow. We are to grow in the God family. And the only place that you can do this is in the body of Christ, where the embryo is. If you think you can do it outside the body, brother, you are greatly deceived. When a mind turns, it thinks it knows more than the great God of this universe. And they turn to their own understanding. And we saw when God was questioning Job, without God, we know nothing. And when someone chooses other than God's way, they choose a different path in life without the instructions from the great God. And they put themselves above God. And it's a sad thing when it takes place, but it does. I've seen it over and over. And I've seen what happens to that mind. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by or through the Spirit of the Lord. So this expression, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, is by changing us from a physical creation to what God is creating. In you and me, to bring us into that spiritual creation, to bring us into the family of God that He is creating. Elohim. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And we'll begin to finish up. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. It says, and you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So we were dead in trespasses. In other words, we had the death penalty when we did these things. We were under that death penalty. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. That's where we were, brother. That's where we came from. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, even when we had the death penalty, made us alive together with Christ and raised us together and made set together in the heavenly in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you are being saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He is a creating God, brother. And we are his workmanship. And we are being created for good works. Let's notice. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Prepared before time began, brother. Let's drop down to verse 17. And came, talking about Jesus Christ, and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to them who were near, for through him, Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household, better said, family of God, begotten into Elohim. And are being built, better said, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together, and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together. God is a creating God, and we are being built together for a habitation of God, brethren, a dwelling place for the great God of this universe through the Spirit, that Holy Spirit that you have. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. And it's talking about the appreciation of the mystery. That's the context of what is being talked about. So let's drop down to verse 16, Ephesians 3 and verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. Let's notice. Through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your minds, better said, through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. Let's notice what's being said. Sometimes we just read through. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. So notice what's being said. What is the width and length and depth and height? So it's talking about understanding that you have been given. You have been given so much, brothers, so much understanding about God's plan. And you are able to comprehend with all the saints the width, the length, the depth, and the height. We have read through God's Word today. We've seen how this human mind cannot contend with the great God of this universe. We've seen that we already become obedient to our God. We saw the questions that were put to Job. We saw God's response to Job. And therefore, we can see just how limited this human mind is. Even with God's Spirit at this time. So we need to heed our God and his instructions so that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. We have been given so much, brother. And this is the only place that you can receive it. The Church of God, PKG. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That's why you come every Sabbath, so that your mind can understand and be filled with God's understanding. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in to him, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. And down in chapter 4 and verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. Notice what's being said. Beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So, brethren, heed the understanding that God has afforded you to give you that understanding. There is one God, and he is a creating God, and he is creating Elohim.